Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, I have dreamed a dream of every common man. Hoping to rise to the top. I have sworn by my blood, as your man, my love, that one day, I promise one day your heartache will stop. But I've never changed. I've never changed one single grain of sand. Oh, thanks to you, baby. But just love in a common man. I want to thank you this evening. Oh, I thought that I felt you so. But that's when you turned around and looked me in the eyes and you let me know. You said, and you said it softly, I didn't have to worry about being a common man. You said, David, you don't have to worry about rising to the top. You said, I didn't have to swear by my blood. But oh, baby, that one day your heartache would stop. Then you put your arms around me and you said, you never, 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 never cared. If I never change one single grain of sand, you said, I love. Common man. Well, my gratitude just keep on growing. Yeah, for recognizing me. I thank you, baby. Yeah, for respecting me. Yeah, I won't thank you, baby. For any time.
Savior, Jesus Christ, who is none other than Master Farad Muhammad, the Almighty, All-Wise, true and living God, Allah, who has come to us this day and granted us a divine mercy and reminder in the person of the last and most surely the greatest of the apostles, prophets, and messengers of God to ever live. We speak about none other than our leader, teacher, and guide for these final days of judgment, the most holy and humble, Elijah Muhammad, and we greet all of our listening and viewing audiences with the greetings of peace, love, and paradise in the original language of Arabic, which means peace be unto you. We say to you all in both their names with love, As-salamu alaykum. For those of you who may wish to participate in our discussion today, you're welcome to call in at 347-989-0855. That's 347-989-0855. Or you can hit us up with a message at Hiram1555@yahoo.com. That's Hiram1555@yahoo.com. As always, we'd like to thank you for giving us another hour of your day and another day of your time. We'd like to thank the thousands of you who listen live from around the globe and the thousands of you who will download us later from all of our affiliate sites, be it Hiram1555.tumblr.com, Twitter.com/Hiram1555. Facebook.com/Hiram1555. BlogTalkRadio.com/Hiram1555. And our main news blog, which is formerly TrumpetOfTruth.wordpress.com, and also formerly SalaamJournal.com and SalaamJournal.org, which is now the Hiram1555 blog at Hiram1555.com. Again, my beloved family, let me say unto you all, assalamu alaikum, and welcome to another edition of the most powerful platform for truth anywhere on earth, bar none. This is your platform for black education, liberation, and empowerment. This is the Star and Crescent Report, and our show today is titled, The Global Economic Bloodbath Has Begun. And I'm so thankful that we are allowed to get on the airwaves again and do a live show. Because it seems like every time we do a show, we get banned. Every single time we get knocked off. Every time we do a live show, it seems like the next show, we get thrown off the air, get rescheduled without even knowing it, all of these things. But today we're just thankful that we're allowed to come to you, especially in this time of the problems that is now facing the Western or the white world. You know, I was reading an article the other night, and it was talking about the problems of the Western world. As a matter of fact, I'm going to read some of these articles to you, and I'm going to prove to you beyond a shadow of a doubt that the most honorable Elijah Muhammad had already told us about these things. See, what I'm going to do is I'm going to prove to you. I'm not going to just speculate. I'm not just going to use just belief. I'm going to prove to you beyond a shadow of a doubt that all that you see taking place is mentioned in prophecy. All that you see going on, especially with the build-up for war, and all of these things that you see going on in the Middle East, all of these things that you see going on in the monetary system, the money markets, the bond markets, the debt markets, all that you see that's going on in your wallet, in your household, economically, is all because of the hand of time is bringing forth the fulfillment of divine prophecy and revelation. The global economic bloodbath has begun. Let's go into our discussion today. Now, as we talk about this economic bloodbath, we have to put it in perspective, okay? We do have to put things into perspective because I have some articles, I have some clips somewhere. I don't know which ones they are because they got shuffled around. But in this, in some of my clips, I was listening to some of the pundits, some of the scholars, and some of these prognosticators and economists. And they were talking about the situation that is facing America. And they're talking about the situation that is facing the Western world and its decline and ultimate fall and collapse in power globally and universally. They were saying that this decline is unavoidable. It cannot be put a beat back. It cannot be postponed as the West would like it to be. But they were also saying that this is a repercussion of how the West has ruled. And remember, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad talked about that in just two sentences. As a matter of fact, let me grab this All of America. I believe it's on page 168, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. I just want to lay something down, lay the ground rules down with you, okay? Let's see. Here we go. I got the book. 160. Yeah, here it is. The first part of that. In this chapter titled The House Doomed to Fall, it reads as such: we cannot deny the fact that the Christian West is responsible for this universal corruption in the land and sea. From the same corruption that their own hands have wrought will come their doom. Now, in one of the clips I have, which we may get to or whatever, they were saying as much as that. As we look at what's going on, as I told you, we're going to put these things in a proper perspective. What you see going on with the Hong Kong protests, what you see going on with the instability of the Balkans, what you see going on with the Western push to recolonize Africa and to try to have a war with China economically and politically over who should and should not be in Africa investing and building infrastructure. All these things, brothers and sisters, are a byproduct of what we call universal change. One world is going out and another world is going in. I was talking to Rashid the other day, and I was telling him about, some of you don't know this, as the thing took place in occupied Palestine, which is Israel now, and in the Lebanon, I was informing Rashid before it made the news, because some of the people that I know was informing me as the stuff was unfolding, and about the missile strike, the destruction of the tank, the killing of the general, the killing of other people, the abandonment of the military bases, and so forth and so on. But all of this revolves around the black man and woman. You don't know that. And there's something that I didn't say to Rashid that I'm going to say live on air about the reason that the tank was hit. And this goes back to the black nation and how God is turning the tide, and he's using different people, different sources to break America, to bleed America and her progenies, and her tools and her puppets or her client states. He's using these things to bleed for your liberation. One of the things that took place when Hezbollah hit the Israeli tank and hit the Israeli armored patrol vehicle, that was not their first choice to hit. I'm gonna say that again. Some of you don't know that, and you'll probably get this on the news, or you'll probably read it somewhere later on. But this is the truth. That was not their first hit. That was not their first planned hit. That was not their second plan. That was their third option. The first option of the hit, they could have taken on massive casualties on the Israeli side. But because you don't know that whenever there's a heat, a blow up of political proportions, and wherever you think there's when you hear them talking about retaliation and hitting back and this and that, Israel, like America, uses the black man and woman as a buffer zone, as a safe hedge. And so there was a deployment of so-called civilian Africans or Africans on the borderline area with Israel and Lebanon. And as Hezbollah went to make the first hit, they spotted that. They spotted it. And they did not want to kill the Africans. Listen to me good. Unlike their Arab brothers, who are racist as hell, a lot of them. They did not want to kill them, so they had to come up with plan two. And plan two seemed to be something that they were going to go for, but then that failed. I won't go into plan two at this time. But plan three, the option, is what happened the other day. But what I'm telling you is, see, wherever you see the flare-up, the build-up for war, the case for economic collapse, all of this is taking place due to the fact that the entire world of the Aboriginal people is being held hostage by non-original people. God is bringing all this to an end, black man. This is why you see the economic flare-ups. This is why you see the market meltdown. This is why you see all of these things that they're not telling you. They'll drip it to you little bit by little bit, but they're not telling you the truth, the full truth of the matter. You can get that here. And I want all of you who are listening to me today, if you truly believe in the Star and Crescent Report's purpose, aims, and goals, which are the purpose and aims and goals that are set out by the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, if you truly believe, please sign up to the Highest 1555 blog premium site, and please donate if you can to the Highest 1555 blog, okay? I would really appreciate that. That'll help us go a long way, okay? But I want to read something to you, okay? And we have plenty of articles, but we have plenty clips too. Listen to this. This is the title, and some of you have probably already read this article, but we're going to go into it a little bit. This article is titled, Get Ready. The U.S. Empire's fall will be swift and sudden. Now, what's very peculiar about this article is that long ago, I talked on this issue about the swift fall, the swift and sudden fall of the American Empire. Because what you don't realize is that America had been falling ever since July 4th, 1930. Some of you don't understand this. Ever since July 4th, 1930, the stage was set for the fall of America. See, you don't look back that far. But it is the truth. And I want you to understand this. Matter of fact, excuse me. Brothers and sisters, we're going to get into that if you would bear with me, okay? I'm not trying to take up your time. There's so much that I have to connect, so much that I have to talk to you about. But I want you to understand that ever since July 4th, 1930, God has been removing the foundation of American power, right? And in this article, it talks about the failures of the Western Empire. It talks about the decline and fall and how rapid America, remember that, if America falls, the Western world falls because America is the guarantor of Western supremacy. America is that load-bearing wall of white supremacy. And this is why they are having problems in Russia today. Russia knows scripture. Russia knows the time. You say, well, why does Russia allow America to do this? And why don't Russia do this? Because Russia, the white people in the Russian government, they understand that they can, look, they're trying to avoid prophecy. They won't be able to do it. But they know that a conflict is coming. They're trying to do their best to build up their defenses to try to spook America and try to spook the West into not doing what the West is going to do to provoke these situations. But they're not dumb to what's going on. Let's go into this article, please, real quick, okay? The name of the article is titled, Get Ready, the U.S. Empire's Fall Will Be Swift and Sudden, and it's by Jeff Thomas through Doug Casey's International Man. And it says, years ago, Doug Casey mentioned in a correspondence to me, empires fall from grace with alarming speed. Every now and then, you receive a comment that, although it may have been stated casually, has a lasting effect as it offers uncommon insight. For me, this was one of those, and it's one that I've kept handy at my desk since that time as a reminder. I'm from a British family, one that left the UK just as the British Empire was about to begin to decline. They expatriated to the New World to seek promise for the future. As I've spent most of my life centered in a British colony, the Cayman Islands, I've had the opportunity to observe many British contract professionals who left the UK seeking advancement, which they almost invariably find in Cayman. Listen closely to this, because this is just a run-up to what I'm talking to in this article. You got to pay attention. I like to read stuff in this context so that no one can accuse me of taking anything out of context. The way I tell it to you is the way that it was meant for you to hear it, okay? Curiously, though, most return to the UK after a contract or two in the belief that the UK would bounce back from its decline, and they wanted to be on board when Britain came back. This, of course, never happened. The U.S. replaced the U.K. as the world's foremost power, and although the U.K. has had its ups and downs over the ensuing decades, it hasn't returned to its former glory, and it never will. Now, when you get to this part here, in bold letters after this paragraph, it says, and it never will. So this is the point that you should be taking here. Now, it says, if we observe the empires of the world that have existed over the millennia, we see a consistent history of collapse without renewal. Whether we're looking at the Roman Empire, the Ottoman Empire, the Spanish Empire, or any other that existed at one time, history is remarkably consistent. The decline and fall of any empire never reverses itself. Nor does the empire return once it's fallen. Stop right there. Remember the Honorable Elijah Muhammad says that after this fall, America will never rise again. Remember that? And then here, in his teachings, he tells us that the fall of one world makes way for another one. All right? So that means through the ashes, all of the silt from the burnt civilization, something rises up out of it. This is what's going on right now. You have one world fighting for survival and another world fighting to come in. So you have the clash of civilizations. Oh, See, this has everything to do with economics and geopolitics, okay? So let's go a little further, okay? Y'all bear with your brother. It says, but of what importance is this to us today? This is the question that he asked. But let's go into it. Well, today, the U.S. is the world's undisputed leading empire, and most Americans would agree that. Whilst this is going through a bad patch, it will bounce back and might even be better than ever. Stop right there. Isn't that what? Oh, the economy is rebounding. The economy is this, and the economy is that. And we'll do this. And after this trade war, and Trump lying left and right. Oh, China is really feeling the trade war. We're winning. China wish they would never get into the trade war. You are trillions in debt to China. China produces 90% of the things on your shelves, produces your microchips for your computers, produces your, all of your microchips for your military circuit boards, produces your fatigues, produces your helmets, produces your boots that your soldiers wear, right? But China is hurting. Use common sense, brothers and sisters. But this is what they say. This is what Trump says. They'll bounce back. But remember, the messenger says, it's not going to happen like that. That's not how it happens, right? Oh, man, let me go to something real quick while we're on this. So, if you guys would bear witness with me as we teach this truth, I don't want you to get mad at me as I go forth in this, brothers and sisters. I just want to tell you the truth. I want to give it to you as it is. I don't want to put it in my own words. I want you to hear what these white people are saying about their own world and how it bears witness to the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. You can't deny this stuff. And I ask the question for you to, for a minute, just put away your prejudices, right? And answer this question. Did Elijah Muhammad come over to what their perspective is, or is time and circumstances and world events forcing them to come over to his words and his perspective and his view? That's all I'm asking you, to acknowledge what is the 900 billion pound elephant in the room. This is what I'm saying to you all. So let's go further. He says, well, today the U.S. is the world's undisputed leading empire, and most Americans would agree that whilst it's going through a bad patch, it will bounce back and might even be better than ever. Not so, I'm afraid. All empires follow the same cycle. They begin with a population that has a strong work ethic and a self-reliance. Stop right there. This is a perspective from the white man. All of these empires use slave labor. All of them. All of them. And all of them exploit the weaker or the most free-hearted or the most naive of us all, thinking that we all can get along, we all should live with. Empires exploit that. But let's go further. All right? You bear with me, brothers and sisters, because this is some good stuff here. I like to hear when they are forced to admit what's going on. It says, those people organize to form a nation of great strength based upon high productivity. This leads to expansion, generally based upon world trade. See how the geopolitics play in with the economics? And when the high productivity no longer exists and it becomes a beggar or a borrowing nation, right, it usually declines morally, ethically, and economically. Is that not right? Let's go further. He says, right here, I'm trying to give it to you, right? He says, those people organize to form a nation of great strength based upon high productivity. This leads to expansion, generally based upon world trade. At some point, this gives rise to leaders who seek not to work in partnership with other nations, but to dominate them. And of course, this is when a great nation becomes an empire. Does America dominate the black man of America? I'm asking you this. Does America try to dominate the people of South and Central America and the Caribbean? Yeah. Does America try to dominate the people of Africa? Is she trying to do it still to this day? Is she trying to dominate even her own kind in Europe? Is she trying to dominate the people in Asia? I'm talking to you now. Talk back to me. Because if she is, this is a description of a what? A an empire, right? And one that is going through a cycle of decline and fall. Let's go further. It says, the U.S. began this stage under the flamboyant and aggressive Teddy Roosevelt. The 20th century was the American century, and the U.S. went from victory to victory, expanding its power. But the decline began in the 60s, the 1960s. Stop right there. Why would the decline begin in the 1960s? For all of you fickle people who be sending me these emails, I read for a message to the black man. I read it. And I found two or three things that Elijah Muhammad was wrong with. And when he talked about the 60s, this didn't happen. You didn't understand, you fickle-minded fool. You didn't understand. That's not what he said. And then I'm going to prove to you what he said is right there in Message to the Black Man, okay? I'm going to prove it to you. Without a shadow of a doubt, I'm going to prove it to you. But the decline began in the 1960s when the U.S. started to pursue unwinnable wars, began the destruction of its currency. Uh-oh, the destruction of its currency is in there, right? And began to expand its government into an all-powerful body. Let's stop this. Let's go to Message to the Black Man for a minute. All right? Okay? I want you all to bear with me. Let me find my Message to the Black. Oh, here we go right here. I believe it's on page 269, 270, I believe it is. Let's go here. Bear with me. All right. Here we go. Now, remember this. Remember as I talk to you that he says, but the decline began in the 1960s. And how did he describe this decline? When the U.S. started to pursue unwinnable wars, began the destruction of its currency. How did it begin the destruction of its currency? It robbed the currency of the silver, right? And began to expand its government into an all-powerful body. What did Elijah Muhammad say right here? God has taught me, and I'm reading a paragraph that is unnecessary, but I want to read it in the context of how it lies on this page, okay? God has taught me that the white race was grafted unalike, and being unalike, it is able to attract the black man and black woman, getting them to do all the evil and indecency known to the white race. The years 1965 and 66 are going to be fateful for America, bringing in the fall of America, as one of the prophets of the Bible prophesied in regard to her. As the morning spreads abroad upon the mountains, a great and strong people set and battled away. This is the setting of the nation for a showdown to determine who will live on earth. Stop right there. Come on. What did he say? Come on back, David. Let's read this again. But the decline began in the 1960s. When the U.S. started to pursue what? Unwinnable wars. Elijah Muhammad talked about the nation setting themselves in battle array, right? In the 60s. What did he talk about? He said the years 65 and 66 will prove to be fatal years for America. Okay? How would that be fatal? Even as America is in the world of trying to arm themselves militarily, he says, it began the destruction of its currency. It robbed the dime and the quarter of the silver that the silver had and robbed some of the half dollars of the silver. That's the destruction of the currency. And began to expand its government into an all-powerful body. Are you seeing it? I know you see it. And I know you hear it. There's no doubt about it that this man is right on the money with it. You understand me? And I know the devil is dropping calls. I know he's doing it. I know he's doing it. But if you get disconnected, call back in. I see dozens of calls getting disconnected. I see it. I can't do anything about it. All I can say to you is, as you get disconnected, call back in. I apologize for you getting disconnected, but I'm surprised they haven't disconnected me at this moment. Okay? We just have to suck it up and deal with it. But let's go further. It says, still, this process tends to be protracted, and the overall decline often takes decades. Stop right there. So if we look in the allotted time, right, and how it takes decades, remember that Abraham got a promise from God that his people will sojourn in a strange place and be among strange people who will ill entreat them for 400 years. And even though the book try to tell you that the first slaves came in 16, 19, 16, whatever, that's a lie. The first slaves came in 1555. And it took 64 years of them to degrade and almost dehumanize us at one point. All right? So from 1555 to 1955 marks 400 years. Is that not right? And they were given a grace period to not exceed 70 years, 60 to 70 years. Now, you do some mathematics with a black man and black woman. I'm just talking to you. And so if we look at the time zone as we break away from the 1555 to the 1955 and we enter into the 1960s, he says, what? Still, this process tends to be protracted, and the overall decline often takes decades. So what takes place after the 60s? Because we know that, according to him and according to Elijah Muhammad, they started robbing the coins of the silver. But what happened in 1971, as Elijah Muhammad told you? Richard Nixon picked the world up the gold and silver standard a decade later. Right? One decade. And then in the 80s, there was a free fall. So much so that even they got scared and started trying to enact laws to try to prevent the greediness of them getting the best of them. And then it comes to 1990s when there was a free fall again, when they thought that they had overcome prophecy by bringing down the Berlin Wall without shots being fired. But it was a cost to that, a geopolitical and an economic and a political cost to these moves. Which brings us to the stock market of the 2008, 2009, 2010, and 11, and all of these things where they said that they had to inject massive amounts of money or else the system would have collapsed overnight. Decades, he says, right? Still, this process tends to be protracted, and the overall decline often takes decades. That's what he says, right? So how does that square with the, quote, empire fall from grace with alarming speed? Well, the preparation for the fall can often be seen for a generation or more, but the actual fall tends to occur quite rapidly. What happens is very similar to what happens with a schoolyard bully. The bully, and notice he makes this analogy, and I often talked about America being the bully, the global bully. Notice he says this, and how I talked about this is like a person that's been in the ring and been a champion for so long, but sees this up-and-coming buck coming, and he still wants to stay past his prime, and he gets leveled in the ring, all right? He says, the bully has a slow rise based upon his strength and aggressive tendencies. After a number of successful fights, he becomes first revered, then feared. He then takes on several toadies who lack in his abilities but want some of the spoils, so they do his bidding, acting in a threatening manner to other schoolboys. The bully then becomes hated. No one tells him so, but the other kids secretly dream of his defeat, hopefully in a shameful manner. Then, at some point, some boy who has a measure of strength and the requisite determination has had enough and takes on the bully. If he defeats him, a curious thing happens. The toadies suddenly realize that the jig is up, and they head for the hills, knowing that their source of power is gone. Also, once the defeated bully is down, all the anger, fear, and hatred that the schoolmates felt for him come out, and they take great pleasure in his defeat. Stop right there for a minute. This is, now, that part right here has a lot to do with South and Central America. When America falls, when she's defeated in the Middle East, and then she is beaten to a pulp in Asia by China, and she makes her last global stand in Europe, after that nuclear conflagration that takes place in Europe, America would be forced back to her own borders. This is why Trump is so preoccupied with the borders. Because those nations who they deemed as their lackeys and peons will come through the border and spit in their face and kick their behind and go right back to where they were from. This is why he's preoccupied. See how the economics tied to this? See how the geopolitical stuff tied to this? And you understand what I'm saying? See, this is stuff that nobody is talking about. Either they know it and don't want you to know it, or they don't know it themselves and should be in a position to teach the people. Because this is a very serious and dangerous time. And I defy any man, woman, child, dog, hog, cat, cattle, or whatever you have to dispute me on this undisputable truth. Come on, talk back to me. 347-989-0855. This has lit a fire under me because I know that the lives of 6 to 8 million here in America and billions depend on you understanding the time. You understand? So let's go further. It says, and this, in a nutshell, is what happens with empires. A nation that comes to the rescue in time of genuine need, such as the two world wars, is revered. But once that nation morphs into a bully that uses any excuse to invade countries such as Afghanistan, Libya, Iraq, and Syria, its allies may continue to bow to it, but secretly fear it and wish that it could be taken down a peg. This is why you see allies that are under America tutelage are working with other people behind closed doors. Because in the same light, they're giving them a little information to kind of sock America in the mouth a little bit. And her strategic goals of trying to dominate and conquer the world. So, are you with me, brothers and sisters? Are you still with me? Because as I'm talking to you, I know more people are being dropped. I know it, but as I said, please bear with your brother. I love you all. I'm telling you, I love my people. With all my faults, with all my flaws, I love y'all. And I'm passionate about the truth that was revealed to us by Almighty God through his messenger. I'm passionate about that. So, in saying those things, right, we come to an understanding that America, her ship has sailed. She's going the way of what they call the dinosaurs or whatever, okay? Let's go further. When the empire then starts looking around for other nations to bully, such as Iran and Venezuela, its allies again say nothing but react with fear when they see the John Bolton and Mike Pompeos beating the war drums and making reckless comments. At present, the U.S. is focusing primarily on economic warfare. Stop right there. You see what I mean? See how the economics play a part in this? Because she tried to strangle the nations through sanctions. That's what she tried to force them to bow to her knees. Didn't Satan say I would try to be like the Most High? He wanted to be like the Most High. And you know you're gonna bow to what God say. So him being a pretend God, he wanna make you bow. And what he does, he attacks your food, he attacks your luxury, he attacks your water, he attacks your infrastructure, he attacks the sovereignty of your nation economically and politically before he attacks you militarily. He weakens you up before he attacks Iraq. He sanctioned Iraq for years, killing hundreds of thousands of children and women. You didn't know it. You didn't pay attention to that, did you? And only after the inspectors inspected Iraq and verified that Iraq had no weapons to defend themselves did they go in there. The same thing happened in Libya. But Libya was overcoming the sanctions. But Libya thought that they would be accepted into the so-called global community if they willfully and freely gave up their nuclear program. And once it was verified that they no longer had the nuclear program, then America and Europe went into Libya. You see the pattern here? But this costs money. Money and time that the empire does not have. And if the empire is running on borrowed time and on fumes, so too is the West and the Western world order running on fumes and borrowed time. All right? Let's go further. It says, at present, the U.S. is focusing primarily on economic warfare. But if this fails to get the world to bend to its dominance, the U.S. has repeatedly warned regarding possible military aggression that no option is off the table. The U.S. has reached the classic stage when it has become a reckless bully and its support structure of allies has begun to decouple as a result. This is what Elijah Muhammad says, that in one day, all the people who were seeking to come to America had left America. This is what he was talking about in Fall of America. This is what he's talking about. This is what he's talking about when America, and it says North America, talking about Canada and the United States, has reached a stage in which it was predicted they would reach. Matter of fact, let's go to something. Let's go to it. Y'all bear with me. This stuff come in my head, I got to get it out. Ah, here we go. Turn right to it. 199. All praises due to Allah for the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. The Dreadful Times of America. That is the name of this chapter. It is chapter 48. And it comes at a time, right? It comes at a time when America is in serious trouble. Listen what it says. America, and especially North America. Uh-oh. So he puts emphasis on the continent more so than he does the nation. Has entered into the time that was predicted by Moses and the prophets between him and Jesus. In the 24th chapter of Matthew, there's a prophecy made by Jesus of the present time of America, without mentioning her name. He referred to the country as a world. Uh-oh. Aren't we talking about the fall of a world? Why did he mention America as a world? Because the whole world flocked to America. America was the center of the Western world order. So the prophet was right in describing America as a world. Okay? You got to understand theology, black man and black woman. Let's go further. It says, he referred to the country as a world because this part of the earth is referred to in many places by prophets and by Jesus himself as a wilderness. The name America is not yet 500 years old, so the prophets referred to it as a wilderness in their prophecy. It is terrific. I use the word terrible. Because it is not a thing that can be described as something mild or something that is moving slowly, nor something that can be recognized so easily by the common people. It is clear to all who can see that America has reached a stage about which she has always been warned. Or, what did Elijah Muhammad say? She has reached that stage. What did Mr. Casey and them say about this? The U.S. has reached that classic stage when it has become a reckless bully and its support structure of allies has begun to decouple as a result. Oh, how do you like to know that? Huh? I told you. It's right here. And we're going to prove it. All praise is due to Almighty God Allah in the person of one Master Farad Muhammad, to whom praise is due forever. You know, let's go further on this, okay? At the same time that allies begin to pull back and make their plans for their future, those citizens within the empire who tend to be the creators of prosperity also begin to seek greener pastures. History has seen this happen countless times. Look at Jim Rogers. Look at Peter Schiff. Look at all of these so-called billionaire investors. All of them have left the U.S., but it is for naught, because the Honorable Elijah Muhammad says that when America gets deep chastised, they're going to be forced back to America's borders to be dealt with. They're not going to get a chance to escape. Hell, we didn't get no mercy from them. They're not getting none. You understand? But I want you to understand these things as time goes on, so that you can look at these events in real time. Man, time is going by so fast, and I got to play some clips, and I got to read this article. I got some articles I want to read to you that I was reading early this morning. I have not been to sleep. Okay? But let's go further. It says, history has seen this happen countless times. The brain drain occurs in which the best and most productive begin to look elsewhere for their future. Just as the most productive Europeans crossed the pond to colonize the U.S. when it was a new, promising country, their present-day counterparts have begun moving offshore. Why? Because they see, they can tell you, America will be great again, or make it America great again. But the truth of the matter is, just follow the trail. All of these people are pulling out, billionaires are buying land all around the world, bunkers all around the world, buying private islands to escape, try to escape what they see coming on them after their years and decades of plunder and greed. They want to run for the border, but it will not be allowed. They may go there, but time and circumstances are going to force them back. You can mark my words on this, black man and black woman. He says, the U.S. is presently in a state of suspended animation. it still appears to be a major force. I told y'all that. That's the light bulb effect. When the light bulb, as brother, and this is not mine, Brother Charles, down in Tampa, Florida, what he always says, and I told the brother, I said, I'm going to take that, and I'm going to tell people, and I tell people about the light bulb effect. The light bulb seems to be its brightest right before it fizzles out. It gets the brightest it has been right before it fizzles out. And this is what he's talking about here. He said, it still appears to be a major force. Then he comes up and says, but. Now, but nullifies everything that he said before. Listen to what he said. It still appears to be a major force, but it buttresses are quietly disappearing. At some point in the near future, it's likely that the U.S. government will overplay its hand. This is what I keep telling y'all. This is what's going on in the Middle East and North Africa. That MENA war, that Middle East and North African regional war. Don't you see all the signs there? Don't you see that they're preparing for war in Asia? Don't you see that they're preparing for war in Europe? Can you not see these things? It's likely that the U.S. government will overplay its hand and aggress against a foe that either is stronger or has alliances that collectively make it stronger. What kind of nation that has alliances that collectively makes it stronger? Let's look. Is Iran stronger than America? Nope. Is Syria stronger than America? Nope. But what about their allies? Who are their major strategic allies? Russia and who? China. Listen to this again. At some point in the near future, it's likely that the U.S. government will overplay its hand and aggress against a foe that is either stronger or has alliances that collectively make it stronger. Okay? So she's being bled. She's being bled to death in Afghanistan. She's being bled to death in Pakistan. She's being bled to death in Yemen. She's being bled to death in Somalia. She's being bled to death in Mali. She's being bled to death in Syria. Now she's being bled to death in Palestine, or what you want to call Israel, and Lebanon. She's been bled to death. Look, she's bleeding to death on the Korean Peninsula. She's bleeding to death economically trying to hold her stronghold over in Japan. She's bleeding to death all over the world. So now she's trying to cobble together her alliance that can rebut or push back China's rise, stop Russia from reemerging, and continue to hold her hands over the Middle East and Africa. This will not make it happen, though. The U.S. will be entering into warfare at a time when it's broke. This is what he said. Remember, America, when she entered into World War I and World War II, she was not, in words, broke. As a matter of fact, because she had the manufacturing capacity after World War II, this is what helped her to be able to loan money to the other nations and made her a superpower and gave her an extraordinary amount of political clout. And this is what brought in the Bretton Woods Agreement, and this is what brought in the dollar as becoming the world reserve currency, and this is what brought in more U.S. colonies called, like, certain, and I'm just using this for instance, the U.S. Virgin Islands, how people would concede land just to get in America's favor, okay? You understand this stuff? I hope you do. Let's go further. He says, the U.S. will be entering into a war at a time when it is broke, and this will become apparent suddenly and dramatically. What else is a decline? What else, when she enters into these wars, what will she not have? She won't have the political capital. She won't have the economic wherewithal. And one of the main drivers of her becoming a superpower that she no longer has, that she transferred through the greed and trying to maintain herself as an economic powerhouse, is the manufacturing capacity. Because she no longer has that. That was shipped to China. When Richard Nixon sent that war criminal over there, Henry Kissinger, to strike a deal with Mao for cheap labor, and if they agreed to recycle the dollar, we would make you a rich nation because we would ship our manufacturing bases over there. This is what he says. This is what they did. And now, remember what it says, it usually takes a decade or more. right? For you to start seeing the ramifications of the policies in some instances. This is what you're seeing today, the policies of yesteryear. So you're living in the shadow of empire today. Come on, talk back to your brother. 347-989-0855. 347-989-0855. Let's go further. All right? Bear with your brother. The final decline will occur with alarming speed. When this happens, the majority of Americans will hope in vain for a reverse of events. They'll be inclined to hope that if they collectively say, whoops, we goofed, the world will be forgiven, returning them to their former glory. But historically, this never occurs. Empires fall with alarming speed because the support systems that made them possible have decamped and have become reinvigorated elsewhere. Rather than mourn the loss of empire that's on the horizon, we'd be better served if we focus instead on those parts of the world that are likely to benefit from this inevitability. Who is the main beneficiary, I'm asking you, to the decline and fall of America? It is you who have been kept as a slave and as a hedge against God's destruction. It's you. So he tells you with common sense, rather than mourn, some of you, oh, we got to keep America strong. We, as though you French, we. As soon as you ask for justice, as soon as you ask for a job, as soon as you ask to be the CEO of a business, they turn a deaf ear, blind eye to you. But now, when the empire's falling and war is inevitable, we rally our troops, all Americans. There's no time for race. We are one people, America. We. What did he say? Rather than mourn the loss of empire that's on the horizon, we'd be better served if we focus instead on those parts of the world that are likely to benefit from this inevitability. That means if it's inevitable, nothing stops it. That means it has a destiny to be fulfilled, right? Let's go further. And then he says, in closing, socialist ideas are becoming increasingly popular in the U.S. Well, yeah, you got that Senator Sanders, and you got that, Congressman Sanders, and you got that Congresswoman AOC. Those are socialists. At the same time, the U.S. government is printing money hand over fist, while the U.S. empire continues to overstretch itself across the world. You see how he connects the dot with the military component, and then he connects the dot with the economic component. He puts them together. He does not separate them because they are inseparable. He says, at the same time, the U.S. government, he didn't say, well, this would happen. Listen what he says. At the same time, meaning simultaneously, the U.S. government is printing money hand over fist, all while the U.S. empire continues to overstretch itself across the world. How the hell does it overstretch itself? With regime changes, color revolutions, bases here, logistical support systems here, deployment of weaponry and troops over there, war games on the borders of other nations. This costs money, and eventually it will cost the empire its survival. And he goes further and says, it's all shaping up to be a world-class disaster, one unlike anything we've seen before. Now, that's him saying these things. I didn't say that. Isn't that beautiful? When you get this stuff like this and you can get it and you can understand it, you can put it in real terms. Now, black men and black women who are listening to me, my dashboard is gone, so I don't know if you're there, but I'm going to still talk to you like I know you're there, okay? Because I know the tricks that they play. God, dog, it's 30. I'm looking at my watch. God, dog, time is passing by quick, but I'm trying to get you to see these things. Now, I do believe that we're witnessing something. We're witnessing decline of a society. We're witnessing the fall of America. All of this happens at the same time that all of these things with the massive shootings everywhere, right? Why is America suffering these massive shootings? I bet you never took the time out to one. When the police go and kill a black man, a black woman, or a black family, and then they put it on the news to try to demonize. Do you ever notice that soon thereafter a major storm hits or some kind of economic gloom happens, or then there's a major catastrophic event, whether it's a bloodbath in a school or a bloodbath in a shopping center? You never took the time out. See, that's the retaliation of divine. You're not going to be able to wage war on God through his people no more. The time for that is up. America got to pay the cost. I know some of you don't like to hear this because you want to be a part of this society. And if you want to be, I'm not trying to turn you from what you want, because I don't care how much I talk to you. If you want that, you're going to go toward it. But what I'm trying to do is warn you that what you want will no longer be here soon. And we have every piece of evidence pointing towards a decline and a fall, not just economically, not just militarily, but ethically and morally, a decay that is rotting the system of America. And the whole world is watching it. The whole world is watching this stuff happen. You ain't going to tell me that it ain't happening when I'm looking at it, right? I mean, there's so much going. Matter of fact, again, think about this. They're cutting food stamps, right? They cut home aid. They cut heating aid. But they can always find money to give to Israel. Have you ever wondered why? Have you ever wondered why all of the white nations, Brother Rashid and I were talking about this when he called me, and we talked about this for a short period of time. Have you ever wondered why the white man, whether he's French, British, Belgian, or whether he's American, why he's so enamored with Israel? Now listen, he called Ahmadinejad, the former president of Iran, right? He calls him an extremist, a doomsday man. He's insane because he believes that the return of the Messiah, or the return of this, or the return of that would happen. And then the white man goes right then and co-signs on some of them Christian pastors who believe that Israel is the chosen land and they are the chosen people. Now, again, I ask you, why are they so preoccupied with Israel? I left you a hint before I even talked about this. I left you a hint about it when I was talking to you earlier, about the 1555 and about the 400 years, because there was a promise given by God. Now, listen, don't get mad at me, just listen. It's in some of my earlier tapes or whatever. Now, let me give a scenario to you, right? Everything that you think you know about Israel is wrong, for you Christian people who are listening. You fall in love and you hoop and you holler about Israel, and you don't even realize that you're the chosen one. You're talking about God to protect Israel. Yeah, Israel had an appointed time, and now that time is over. Listen to me. Let me give you an analogy. If I claim to be Brother Rashid's friend, and I go and steal his wife, and I go and he come home and I took over his house, what am I? I'm a liar, right? I'm an adulterer, a con artist, and a thief. Is that not right? Okay. Now, in the scriptures, it tells us about how Israel got his name, right? About how the angels came to bestow a blessing, not on Jacob, but on Esau, right? And Jacob, or Yaakov, stole the blessings of another man. And on the stealing, and he didn't just steal it, he attacked the ambassador of God. That's why the Bible tells you about he wrestled with the angel all night until his life was preserved. Right? He wrestled with it, and the angel said, I got a work to do, you got to let me go. And he said, nah, I'm going to hold you. I'm not letting you go till you bless me. Give me the blessing that you were going to give to that people over there. Right? This, if I'm lying, open up your Bible, and if what I'm saying is not in there, I'll eat the whole Bible without salt and pepper. Right? And so, as day began to break, the angel asked him to let him go. But he had a grip on him. He said, I'm going to hold you, I'm going to hold you, I'm going to hold you. And I'm not going to let you go till you bless me. And so the angel said, from this moment on, thou shalt no longer be called Jacob, but thy name shall be Israel. Stop right there. So, Jacob was changed to Israel. And Jacob was blessed, but the blessing was not meant for. That's just like this. If UPS sends if I order a package from UPS, or my sister or my mom order a package from UPS and have it shipped to my house, and you come on my porch and get it, and you take it home, and you say, look at my package, that doesn't make it yours. I don't care if 5 years pass or 50 years pass, it don't make it yours, because it was never meant for you. You stole it, meaning that you are a thief, right? Why don't you apply this logic to that? Because this is simple logic. Not only am I going to steal the blessing of that man, I'm going to attack the messenger that was sent to that man by the Almighty God. So not only did I steal the package and attack the messenger, I attacked God indirectly by attacking his messenger. So not only am I a thief, I'm an outlaw. And if you look in the actions of Israel and you look at the actions of America, what actions do they show the whole world? Why they demand the whole world abide by international law? They turn a blind eye and a deaf ear. Right? Don't they? Turn a blind eye and a deaf ear to international law on a daily basis. Is that not right? I'm talking to you. I'm talking to you all. Brothers and sisters, like I said, I'm talking to you. I have no screen whatsoever. Okay? I'm doing my best to keep the show going. I knew stuff like this was going to happen. I knew it. But I'm going to continue to talk to you. So, with this simple logic, and I ask you the question, why are they so concerned about Israel? Because the whole premise of Christianity relies on that. And if that is exposed, then the white man's Christianity gets exposed. If that gets exposed, that Israel, or them so-called Jews, or the Khazars, or whatever you want to call them, if they get exposed for who they are, right, then in the light is shining that they are imitators, and they are rogues, liars, and thieves, and they are pretenders to the throne, then people will start digging and saying, well, who are the real inheritors of the throne? And when they start digging, they'll realize that Israel is not in the Middle East. Israel is America. And those sacred vessels who were kept captive in the house of Israel, guess what? That's you and I. We're the only people on earth that fit the description of 400 years in servitude slavery, enslaved upon the people who had treated us worse than they treat dogs. They love dogs. They'll kiss them, sleep with them, and then they'll put you in a jail cell, put you in prison for hitting a dog. But they'll flood your community with drugs, with alcohol, with all kind of chemical-based food and byproducts. And you don't see this? And you don't think God is justified in removing his power? Huh? You guys don't see it. I've lost all signal. I don't even know if we are still on the air, but as I said to you, I'm going to keep saying this to you. I don't know if I'm on the air, but I'm going to talk to you. And we'll see if we can get back on the air shortly. But the whole jig would be up if you understood. And this is why they arm Israel. This is why they continue as they cut your food aid, or white. They'll even cut their own people food aid. Or we need to trim the budget. And then they'll find $38 billion to get Israel. Right? Now, you under a debt burden for college education that ain't taking you nowhere. $40,000, $50,000, $100,000, $200,000 that they won't relieve you the debt of, a burden of child support payment that you can't get from under. And they'll nullify Israel debts, and then they'll give them money on top of that, and then free weaponry that you got to pay for through your taxes. They do that is because they got to keep up the facade that Israel is in the Middle East. Israel is the chosen people. Those white folks over there that you see on TV are the true Abraham. This, they got to keep that lie going, or else everything fails. And this is why they're preparing and they're deploying to the Middle East right now to try to defend this lie, to keep their world going. But the constraints have been made on them and against them, right? And brothers and sisters, these constraints are threatening to bring the entire world of the white man to his knees. You've heard it. You've read it. All of these things are happening right now. All of them. And we've shown you and we've proven to you without a shadow of a doubt that these things are happening and that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad had already told us these things. Will you just deny the truth? I mean, how much clearer can it get when I'm playing clips for you? How much clearer can it get when I'm proving to you beyond a shadow of a doubt by reading what the white man himself is saying and then reading what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said and then showing you world events, showing you geopolitical events, economic events, political events that bear witness to these things? What more do you need? What more do you need? I'm asking you. Because there's so much going on here. There's so much going on. It doesn't seem like I'm getting my screen back. It doesn't seem like I'm getting my screen back. But I'm going to talk to you. It's a very beautiful time to be a follower of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And I'm talking to you all without a screen. I'm talking to you all without, my computer completely went down on me. I saw it when this, at first, and I was trying to ignore it, and I didn't want to say anything about it, but it says computer under attack, and virus protector was fighting, but the whole computer is like shut down. And the other computer is too. So what are the odds of that? That as I'm talking to you on this matter, on the economic collapse of empire and the exposure of Israel in the Western world on their decline and ultimate destruction, two laptops go down. I'm asking you, what's the odds of that? You see, this is what I'm telling you. These are the things I go through to get the truth on the air. These are the things that I go through to try to tell y'all what's really going down. Because the world is changing rapidly and fast, and this is why they continue to ban me off there. This is why they continue to I'll schedule a show, go back, the show is rescheduled. I'm like, what in the world? I had the show scheduled for tomorrow. Go back, it's scheduled for 2 to 3 days after that without even notifying me. Go there, I have a scheduled show. They don't mess with the date. I go to do the show, my dashboard won't even come up. Dashboard just missing. I said, well, maybe it's one of my computers. So I get to the other computer. It won't allow me from that one. Get to the other computer. It won't get to my tablet. It won't let me do it on that one. Try to access it from a phone. Phone shuts down. All of this stuff is to prevent you from understanding, because you're the greatest beneficiary of what is taking place. And the whole world of man knows it. They're trying to keep it secret from you because you are the memory gland of the entire world. It was your labor that made America great. It was your labor, free labor, I should say, that made the entire Western world a powerhouse. It was your blood and sweat and sacrifice that kept the Western world free to dominate you and your kind. And now all of these things are coming back on them. See, you can't get away from this saying, as thou hast done, so shall it be done unto thee. That's a saying that you can't get away from. I think that saying binds you in the universe. Because it's something more than just rhetoric. This was laid at the foundation of the creation of the universe. Some people call it karma, judgment, or whatever you have. But you see, the Western world is under divine assault. Divine assault. And it's happening in increments and in degrees. It is happening in areas that you don't even recognize. Like you'll see the shooting up of a city, and you'll say 7 people's lives were killed or taken or here and there. But then think about the psyche of the people of that community and the toll that it's taken mentally, and then the toll, the economic toll that it takes. And think about when it floods in a community or whatever. Think about the economic toll that it takes. When the drought is there, think about the economic toll that it takes. Or when they're facing evacuation because of massive wildfire. Not only is it a strain mentally and spiritually, but it is also a financial bind, a financial strain that breaks the back and the psyche of people and of cities and councils and counties and states and U.S. government. These are judgments that are plaguing America day and night, night and day. And they're happening in succession. They're happening in succession. And I remember talking to Brother Saladin. And I remember, and this was a long, long time ago. This was a time when, you know, when a tornado would touch down and the tornado wouldn't stay for about 5 minutes. You remember those days when you didn't have 10, 20, and 30 tornadoes hitting at a time? And I remember Saladin said, "Brother, I remember the messenger talking about when the lost stars ramping up the judgment. He said there'll be 10, 20, 50, 100, 200 tornadoes touching down, brother. And he said, and don't look for no immediate relief for 5 or 10 minutes. He said, brother, they'll stay on the ground and go cross states and stuff. And then when I started seeing that in the last few years about, what was it, a few years ago when 200 tornadoes hit a certain area over a 4-state span, I said, wow. The brother was he was right on the money with that. And the destruction that it causes. The destruction that it causes. And the mental excitement and panic that it puts into the hearts of the people and the government. Think about that chastisement. Think about that judgment. This is what I'm saying to you. Time is against America. Time is against the Western world. Everything has been formulated to bring America to her knees. Everything. Why America? Because America is the most wicked and evil of all of the nations on earth. She is the most evil and has treated the black man so bad that you cannot hardly put it in words of how she's treated her willing and loving slaves. You don't think that deserves justice? You don't think that deserves the bringing down? Think about this. When they came to America, there was, over 80, 90 million Indians, and there's less than 2 million a day, the extermination process. We lost over 100 million people in the middle passes. 100 million! I didn't say 6 million, 6,000, 600, or 60,000, or even 600,000, or even a million. You don't think the blood of our ancestors cries out for justice? And what you do, there's a disconnect here, because you don't realize that what is going on is for your freedom. You don't realize that. You are trapped in lunacy, too. Some of you, I'm a Muslim now, I love this, and then you go right back and be a fool and be trapped in this society. You love this society. A lot of you love it. A lot of you love it. And a lot of you are going to pay the price because you straddle, like Brother Baldwin used to always say, straddling the fence. That's what a lot of you are doing. You're straddling the fence. But the time is over for that, because you're so used to your ex-master coming to your aid or pretending to come to your aid or showing, pretending that he loves you. But in this day and time, he's showing you that he hates you. His policies, his police, his government, his wars. All of these things. Not only is he sanctioning nations outside, he's sanctioning you. When he deprives you of the basic necessities of life, he's putting a sanction on you. Do you understand that? When he ups that bill that you were barely able to pay last week, that light bill or that water bill that you barely had, you had to choose. Well, I'm going to have to take $50 extra and pay this, but I got to keep $60 to myself so I can feed my family. And then he comes around the next week, right? And then he takes it from you. It's something else, ain't it? It is something else. He comes and takes that money by sanctioning you. He says, I'm going to bills go up by 20%. So that means your living standard will drop by 40 to 60% because you were barely making it. And then he has the nerve to say, we need an emergency stimulus for $60 billion or $80 billion or $180 billion for Afghanistan. We need an emergency bill to go through overnight, without anybody reading it, for $160 billion in aid to our military forces who are now occupied land over land over land over land. You see the madness in this? Huh? I hope you do. Brothers and sisters, I've accessed Blog Talk Radio, but I've done it on my tablet. The computers are down. I finally, while I was talking to you, I was accessing Blog Talk Radio. I don't know how good it'll be while I'm on my tablet, but you know how black people do. We always are resourceful when we need to be, okay? I'm just waiting for everything to the login and everything like that, see if everything will go through. But I just, in all of this, your mind and your heart should be happy. Think about it. You have lived in the shadow of another man, a pretender, an illusionist, a magician, a liar, a thief, a con artist, right? That's what magicians are. They con you into believing something that's not real, right? They put you in a state of make-believe because what you think you're viewing is not reality. And so these people here in this world, this Western world, makes you believe in something that's not real, that's not beneficial, but only detrimental to your prosperity and the livelihood of your future generations. If only you would take the time out and look at these things and examine all this stuff. If only you would take the time out. Only. If you would take the time out to try to understand that America is living on borrowed time and she has no way around it. You know, again, let's go back to something that I read to you, okay? Okay? You bear with me. In the dreadful times of America, I stopped when I said this. It is clear to all who can see that America has reached the stage about which she has always been warned. And we read in there where that white man said exactly the same. Almost verbatim, right? But we fail to go a little further. So Muhammad elaborates on this. He says, she always wanted to keep it a secret because of her so-called Negro slaves. She never desired for the slave to know too much of what was in store for her because of her enslaving and mistreating her slaves. See, she don't want you to know the ins and outs of what's really taking place. Because if you understood the ins and outs of what's taking place, you would be overjoyed that all that you see going on is for you and those who have suffered like you for innumerable years. He goes further and says, she has read them for the past 400 years, and she knows them. She knows how they think and how they react to her teachings, and she knows their fear of her. She knows her slaves, but the slaves do not know America, their slave master. The great, dreadful, and awful day, or doom, is now in the doors and windows of America, and of the church, the religion of America. See, all this is connected. You see, this is what I'm telling you. This is why they try to keep the lie going about Israel. But it's all connected because if you don't have the economics, the military won't withstand the onslaught. If you don't have the manufacturing capacity, the military component will suffer a great deal on the battlefield. You understand? If you have a confused political establishment, the military will have different objectives that will bring it to its knees. He says, the great, dreadful, and awful day or doom is now in the doors and windows of America and of the church, the religion of America. As long as Christianity worked, America thought she was safe. But it is one of the most deceiving and outright misleading religions of the world. Now, this is why they're fighting like hell to keep Israel in the eyes of you. Because if you give up that, you throw this chains of slavery back to them and you start seeing the world for what it is. You start to want to search for who are those chosen people? Who are those divine people? Right? And this is what they will not have. They can't have this because that's a threat to their stability. That's a threat to their livelihood. That's a threat to their national security. That's a threat to their future generations. And this is why, like madmen and women, they are preparing for thermonuclear war. If I can't rule, hell, I ain't letting nobody rule. I'm going to kill everybody. You got to be mad or crazy as hell. Listen to what they have. I can't emphasize this enough on my shows. A mad doc. They tell you that they're insane. Their doctrine, their publicly stated national security strategy and doctrine is called MAD. M-A-D. Mutually assured destruction. If I can't rule, I'm killing everybody. That's the sign of a maniac. Right? I'm going to hold a barrel of a gun to you. If I can't come in your house and tell you how to live in your house, I'm killing us all. If I can't go across the border and tell them how to live, I'm killing us all. I'm going to hold the entire world at ransom. And not only do I have enough weapons to kill us, I made sure I have enough weapons 30 times over to blow us up. That's not a... Come on, black man and black woman. Regardless of what religion you are, regardless of what your belief is, those are not thoughts of a madman. Come on, let's be real about this. Because we don't want to accept this. But you know those are thoughts of insane, mad people. Right? You think about the money that it takes, the ingenuity that it takes, the investment that it takes to not only research these types of deadly weapons, right? But then to build them and then to deploy them. And then at that, to have them on a hash trigger for use. That's not insanity. So if you blow up this world, where you going to live at? Well, we're going to colonize Mars. You can go there if you want to, but you ain't going to be able to colonize it. Because you still going to have to drink the water from this planet. You still going to have to eat the food from this planet. So if you destroy, if Allah allowed you to destroy this world, again, I'm asking you, where you going to live? Do you ever notice, and let me say this too. I know we're on economics. We're going to do part two of this, okay? We'll do it Thursday if we're allowed to get on the air. But think about this. As they're preparing for total annihilation, which they will not be able to destroy the earth one time, Allah will not allow that to happen. What's going to be devastated is Europe. For the hell that they put on all of the peoples of the planet earth, Allah is going to allow a nuclear exchange in Europe. Whether you want to believe this or not, why do you think America just deployed two more nuclear armed strategic bombers to England or the UK? Why do you think Russia is now having military drills in all of her military districts and also having naval drills in the Caspian Sea and the there's two other seas that she's having naval drills in right at this moment? Why do you think that they're testing their anti-ballistic missile systems now? Because they know war is coming in. That's where the nuclear war would be for. It's going to ravage that continent just like that continent ravaged the peoples of the planet Earth. But again, I want to say this to you all, brothers and sisters, as I'm talking to you. Think about this. They're preparing for war. They're always talking about humanitarian crisis. They're always talking about the right to self-determination. Yet they're threatening the world with total extinction and annihilation. And at the same time, you got them having their scientists, they're investing billions of dollars in trying to find another planet to live on. Do you see the madness in this? So if you got grievances here and you're allowed to destroy this planet, even if you could live on another planet, after a while you're going to have grievances again. You going to blow that one up and go to the next one? Or you going to blow that one up and go to the next one? How many you going to blow up before you get satisfied? Huh? I'm asking you these things. These are things that you don't even take the time out to reason about. These people are psychotic in nature. They are bloodthirsty by birth. And you see it in their policy. You see it in the way they act. You see it in the way they treat you. You see it in the way that they treat other people. Hell, you see it in the way they treat each other. And you go and you mimic it with your brother. You do unto your brothers as you have been taught by your oppressor. It's a crying shame that in this late hour of the judgment of America and the Western world that you're still acting like a savage. It's a crying shame that you're still acting a fool and doing foolish things in this day and time. It's a crying want to accept responsibility to help as we get this truth out here to the people who may not be privy to it at this moment. It's a crying shame. Remember, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad says that the chastisement on a lot of people will be intense regret. It will be intense regret. People will regret not doing what they could have done when the opportunity arose, and they will be judged by that. The scripture tells you that. Elijah Muhammad reaffirms it. And now the time and the circumstances and the events of the world are proving it to be the case. That's why you hear me often say, it's a very beautiful time to be a follower of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. I'm not just saying that as empty words. I'm not just saying that to win your approval. Hell, I don't care if you like me or not. But what I am trying to tell you is that we are in a day of reckoning. And America is getting disaster upon a disaster poured upon her head. She must deal with the reckoning that is coming to her. And you're going to have to deal with it too if you still believe in her. If you still try to help her, think about this. Listen to this. On one side, you say you want America gone. And on the other side, you're trying to build up her society. You're investing in her technology. You're trying to be in her war machine, right? I know some people really don't have a choice to be in a military at times, but I'm just talking. Think about it. How in the world can you say on the one hand that you want to divest from her and that you don't want to be a part of America, and yet you integrating yourself? I want to leave you with a note here, as I've talked on other shows. Remember the first five books of the Bible, the so-called first five books of Moses. And remember the warning when God told Moses to gather the elders and tell them certain things. The elders only met by way of disputation. They only wanted to dispute. That's all they wanted to do. I'm an elder. They wanted the younger ones to look up to them. This is the book. But the elders didn't do what they were supposed to do. And so, according to the scriptures, I think it was 21 or 22, those who, that's another subject here, but let me continue on this frame of thought here. So, God told Moses, go and warn your people not to integrate into the society of Pharaoh and his people. Do not integrate into their customs. Do not integrate into their government. Why? I ask you all, why did God give that commandment to Moses? Especially in a time when he had threatened the total annihilation and destruction of Egypt. Why did he do that? Because he said that integration brings about assimilation. That means that you will pick up the habits of those who you look up to, those who have exerted power over you, those who have things that you only wish that you could have. You will look up to them and you will assimilate some of their ways into your ways, some of their gods into your gods, some of their religious activities into your religious activities. And God said, if they do this, I'm going to kill them just like I'm going to kill Pharaoh. Now, some of you don't like to hear that, but it's scripture. It's prophecy. And prophecy must be fulfilled. And we can see right here, this day and time, that God is killing Pharaoh. Look at America. Look at Donald Trump. Look at the administration. Look at the entire government of America. They're dying a slow death, and the whole world is making mock of that great Goliath that everybody used to be afraid to come out and fight. Everybody is mocking the debt situation of the great Goliath, the so-called richest nation on earth. Everybody is mocking that nation that is hampered by and under the greatest debt burden in the history of man or mankind. And yet you are still trying to assimilate yourself into his society, meaning that you are integrating yourself with destruction. If you want that, you can have it. All I want you to know is that there's something better and something greater in store for you. God loved you so much that he left all in his kingdom to come after you. And he has proven his love and loyalty to you by bringing down the most powerful nation in the last 6,000 years. And he has done it by degrees, and now you can perceive it. And once you perceive it, it'll make you say what I always say. It is a very beautiful time to be a follower of the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. Brothers and sisters, with an undying love and passion for the liberation, the upliftment, and the redemption of 68 million of our kind, first here in America, then the billions around the globe, know that your brother Rashid Muhammad loves you to life. But the love that I have for you pales in comparison to the love that my God, my Savior, and my Redeemer, Almighty God Allah, in the person of one Master Farad Muhammad, his messenger, the last and the greatest of the messengers of God, the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, and that mighty, mighty Nation of Islam has for you. Until we next speak again, stay strong, stay true, but above all things, stay righteous. Assalamu alaikum, brothers and sisters. No outro because I have no dashboard. Assalamu alaikum.